response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Dirt and Sprague.
I really do believe they're either going to live up to the hype or they're going to have a very mediocre season.
Starting your day with a big cup of dirt.
No, I'm not a bro.
And a little splash of Sprague.
Peekaboo.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. The final hour of the radio program. This is it, Stephen Vaughn. Our final hour of radio together.
A little sad, but you know what? It's been a fun time.
Only a little. It's your final day doing double duty. You'll be on primetime later. Just you and Sakanik, right?
Yeah, me and Big Sook.
There you go. That'll be a fun show.
Yes, sir.
It's been great to have you in, but we got one more hour radio to get through, and that is going to be a lot of fun because we're going to kick it off the final hour of the radio program with Mike Sando of The Athletic. He's put out his quarterback tier ranking article. I mean, there's so many polarizing ones to talk about. We only talked about a few of them. Because I thought he was going to be on at 8. It turns out it was supposed to be 9. But we dove into some of them. Lamar and Bo Nix. You know, we didn't get to Herbert. Herbert seems to be pretty highly regarded. I think most people logically say, yeah, Justin Herbert's awesome. And I think obviously hanging over him is the playoff performances. The sub 60% completion percentage stuff. Mm-hmm. The interceptions, touchdowns. They need to win a game. Also, context matters. Not having your two tackles in a football game
matters.
That can matter.
Right.
Having a broken hand can matter. Being in a tough division can matter. And it seems like everybody in the NFL, you know, if he goes 0-4 this year and flames out again, it's probably going to drop. But most people, I think, in the NFL have the logical brain of like, no, Justin Herbert's really good at football.
Yeah, he looks, and he looks the part too. That's the thing. And now, you know, it doesn't help that, you know, his hot fiance is playing with his hair. Like, that just doesn't help with the whole
He conspiracy. Cut the hair a little bit too. He's got good long locks. Yeah. I like it when it's getting almost to shoulder length. I like that, but he cut it short.
Yeah, that's more professional.
Yeah,
he's really grown up in front of our eyes.
Is he knocked down a tier from watching him be pet by his girlfriend on the sidelines?
I think it knocks him up a tier.
It goes up a tier.
For my, the Stephen Vaughn
tier. So he's
tiers.
A T1 guy now.
Yeah, he's a tier one for Stephen Vaughn.
Okay, all right. Well, let's talk to our good friend Mike Sando, who's making the rounds because he puts it out every year. And man, Mike, you are kind of evil in the sense of like you're doing the Lord's work, but you also know how much you're pissing off football fans by just reporting how people in football view the most important position. Do you not?
That's true. Now, this year, though, our production people let the fans vote, too. And let me tell you, the fans are harder than the coaches and executives. So, you know, I think everybody's got some strong opinions. They just like their own.
Yeah, they do. How much flack do you actually take when you put this out of like we had somebody tweet us earlier, he's got Bo Nix third tier. He doesn't know ball. And I'm like, it's not Mike Sando making all the tiers for all these guys. Like, how many people misinterpret the whole tiers list?
Some of that. Yeah, that definitely happens. And even when I do some of these interviews, you know, they know, but they'll say, you have him ranked. I'm like, in my mind, or I might say it, you know, It's not me, but it's a good look for better or worse of how the league sees people and why, and so I'm fine with that. There's no question on X, like my, you know, the men, when you have mentions, if you have a lot of mentions, it'll just say 20 plus. You don't have any. It's just like it's 20 plus. Like every time I refresh it, it says 20 plus because it's just going back and forth. You know, unlike any other week, really, for me.
Yeah, you are so right. The list is just incredible because it's going to just make people so mad and so happy and so angry, all the emotions. Was there one player in particular that you were a little shocked at where they ranked in the tiers by the executives and everybody?
I'll tell you a couple. So I was bracing. I'm always braced for whether or not Lamar Jackson's in one or two. That's a hot button one for good reason. There's people who feel like he wasn't given his due. You know, when he came out, you know, people were lower on him. He's won a couple MVPs, and yet there's always someone saying what he can't do, you know. And so I think that is one. And then he was in Tier 1 last year, Tier 2 this year. I knew that's going to be a talker and a debater, and you try to explain what people are thinking, but you're not going to make everybody happy on that. Even the voters are conflicted. Gets a lot of Tier 1 votes, a few more in Tier 2. I thought that was interesting. you know, Denver fans probably want to see Bo Nix higher than the top of tier three for what he's done. You know, and you look at that the rest of that draft class, there's some other guys higher, you know, Drake May, Caleb Williams, for example. So there's a little bit there. I think Dak Prescott was interesting in that he moved up five spots. Did he suddenly do something last year we'd never seen him do? I didn't really understand that. He got way more tier one votes than he's gotten in the past. So that was a little bit surprising. But for the most part, you know, I think people accept most of them. Jalen Hurts being barely holding on in tier two, I think that's tough for some people when he's won, you know, won a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Mike Sando, our guest here, The Athletic, released the article from the NFL execs and coaches. As he mentions, the fans can vote as well. And I went through and I would vote on the different quarterbacks, Mike, just to see like what the percentages splits would be in tiers. Like, I would give my honest opinion of the guys, but I'd be curious, like, am I more in lockstep with the everyday fans, or do I think or view somebody greater or weaker than where they're largely at? You can find the article at The Athletic. It's great. Mike is on social media, as you mentioned. Be one of his 20-plus mentions every time he refreshes it at Sando NFL. He's been covering the NFL and doing exceptional work for a long time. I quite enjoy it. And, you know, one of the guys that we talk about for obvious reasons here, we're the home of the Ducks, Justin Herbert being an Oregon Duck. And, you know, we're joking before we get you on that maybe he's being knocked up or down a tier based on how people view him being pet by his girlfriend at camp on the sidelines. Yeah. And that's great to joke about. He comes in at tier two, and he's one of the top tier two guys, right? He's just below Lamar at number six. He's got a couple votes for tier three, and he's got quite a few votes for tier one. Like, I know ultimately he's tier two, and he needs the playoff stuff. But just how fascinating I think the conversations are. You're talking to these people on but kind of off the record with, you know, being anonymous. Like, how fascinating the conversations are when you talk about Justin Herbert with people around the NFL.
Absolutely. So I think a good way to frame it on him is, at what point do reasons sound like excuses? And there's always reasons for why somebody with this amount of talent, who's obviously good, doesn't have more team success. But after a certain number of years, there's certain people, you know, everyone has their breaking point when they're like, I don't want to hear something different every year. Just do it. And so he got, I think, 19 votes in tier one and three in tier three. You know, that's pretty unusual to get tier three votes from people that have about had it. You know, they don't want to hear it anymore, whatever it is. I will say this about the Chargers, though. They've had 20 some years of good quarterback play because they had Phillip Rivers for all those years. And now Herbert. They have not won a division title since 2009. I mean, division, there's only four teams in the division, and I know, you know, obviously Denver was good for a while, and the Chiefs have been good, but still, that tells you there's some things going on there beyond these quarterbacks, because you know Herbert and Rivers are top 10 quarterbacks for sure.
Hey, Mike, I got a question about Jaden Daniels, because I feel like as a rookie, he came in, and he took the league by storm, you know, winning the Heisman Trophy, second overall pick. I thought that rookie year with the Commanders, he was probably the best quarterback in all of the NFC. And then this last season, injuries, they kind of loaded up on a bunch of veterans. What's the league saying about Jaden Daniels going into year three? Is it just a matter of fact, does he just have to stay healthy, or is there something else going on with him?
I think it's health. I think it's definitely health, because after, you know, the rookies are not in this thing. So after his rookie season, he went all the way up to number six, kind of where Herbert is now. He got a lot of tier one votes, which is unusual for someone that early in their career, because they saw he wasn't just a runner. He's a good passer, a dangerous runner, and his team got to the championship game. And the team was the Washington Commanders, who hadn't sniffed anything forever. So he checked all those boxes, kind of got a free pass or earned a pass to the top of tier two. Then last year comes, and he's 2-5 in the games he starts, and he can't stay healthy. So some of those concerns people had about him coming out of college that got kind of put to the side after a great rookie year, I think, came back. And so he, you know, corrected down, I think, to number 13, still solidly in tier two. I think if he's healthy, he's going nowhere but up. But that's a little bit of a question mark now.
Yeah, that's the tough part. Mike Sando, The Athletic, our guest here, the Tiers quarterback list from the execs and coaches around the league. You can also vote yourself if you go to the article at The Athletic, theathletic.com. It's right there on the main NFL page. It was one of the lead stories yesterday and the day before that. So excited to have Mike on to talk about these quarterbacks. The one up north that just won the Super Bowl, you're in the state of Washington. You're around this stuff. You're following it very closely along with the rest of the league. I'm kind of kidding, just away from the execs and coaches, because Sam Darnold's coming in here, and when I look at the fan votes, he's got a 47% split at like tier three and 46% in tier two. So he's kind of polarizing to even the fans as a tier two guy. Just Mike Sando's read of Sam Darnold, who had the great year with Minnesota that ended in a dud, comes into Seattle. We had listeners down here in Portland who are Seahawks fans, Mike, that were basically like, this isn't an upgrade from Geno. They weren't all sold on it. And then they win the Super Bowl. He has a great season again. So we're recalculating a lot of this stuff. Just your view of Sam Darnold personally, not where his tier is, just your views of Sam Darnold.
Yeah. Well, Sam Darnold has won a ton of games the last 2 years playing for teams that had great defenses. And Minnesota without him was a mess, but went 9-8.
Mm-hmm.
So without really having good quarterback play at all. So I think if you look at his early career, very tough situation with the Jets, to Seattle, which was a better situation than people realized. The coach is great, Mike McDonald. He put together a great defense already. Their special teams are scoring touchdowns to win games. They're down 30-14 at home to the Rams in a gotta-have-it game, and they win it because they get a punt return for touchdown. Mm-hmm. And Darnold did some stuff, too. So I think that you can see the complementary nature of this. You give him his due as a Tier 2 quarterback, but you're not pushing up to the top of Tier 2. I agree with that, because the context of the team is a huge part of this.
Yeah.
When you talk to, you know, some executives and yourself, just what you're thinking about, you look at like a tier, you know, the tier three group of quarterbacks, tier four group of quarterbacks. Is there a guy that people are out there talking and saying, man, this guy could actually blow up and be, you know, a top of tier two, or even, you know, God forbid, a tier one quarterback that's kind of in tier three right now?
Keep your eye on Tyler Shuck of the Saints. He was somebody who's low down in there because he only started about half the season. A lot of guys that I talked to hadn't really seen him, just said, hey, give him a four, not enough information. But the people who played him and saw him were pretty universally optimistic.
Mm.
So that's somebody who kind of sneaked in. He's an older player coming out of college career. He had some injuries, didn't go as well as people thought it would. Was available to them outside the first round, which is unusual. It's the Saints. No one really watched them, right? But they've put together some pieces around him. They drafted a quarterback, a receiver in the top 10. He had some big games last year when no one was really looking. So he's somebody I don't think he's going to go to tier one, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if he moved into tier two quick.
Mike, I just gave the opinion 2 days ago that he's the second best quarterback in the NFC South. So thank you for defending the opinion there with what people are telling you around the league. I guess,
yeah.
I know ball a little bit here. Tyler Shuck, we'll have to wait
you,
and see.
Yeah. Ball knower.
Ball,
that's right. That's you.
All ball knower.
Ball knower, Brandon Spray.
I'm never wrong. Yeah. Let me ask you, of the 50 people you go with at execs, coaches, is it the same every year, or do you mix it up with that list of people that you ask?
Well, whether I try to mix it up or not, it gets mixed up because if I just contacted 50 guys, I wouldn't get it. I wouldn't have enough because, you know, they're on vacation. I'm on vacation.
Right.
You miss people. So I probably, you know, I probably reach out to 75 or 80, maybe even more people. I actually keep a separate list of like, hey, who did I reach out to? Because you got to try to remember it. And I have little check marks. Once they get back to me, do I have their ballot? Have we had a conversation? I've kind of got this little sheet that I work off of. And then I'm conscious, too, of, okay, I want to make sure that I get, you know, enough of a mix here. You know, this year I ended up having, I think, 8 GMs, 9 head coaches. You know, I think I had 5 assistant GMs and 5 former GMs, 15 coordinators. You know, you're trying to balance these things out so it's a representative group, because the groups will vote a little bit differently. You know, the coaches will be higher on an Aaron Rodgers because of all the stuff he can do at the line of scrimmage and how well he understands the game. The personnel guys might be earlier, you know, higher earlier on Drake May or Caleb Williams. Some of these guys they scouted coming out who they have a high opinion on, and they've shown something, and that's what I saw. So you get a little bit of that, and you want to have a mix to balance it out.
Absolutely. The reason I ask you that is, and look, I ultimately I'm kind of joking with this, but also I understand your side of like, these are anonymous. You're just grateful that you got people participating, giving their opinion, and you want to get these out. I think sometimes, though, when you get a yes vote, Aaron Rodgers is tier one, we need to flush votes out. We need to say, hey, I appreciate you responding.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers tier one getting a vote is, that's a little wild. I know Aaron Rodgers had a great career. Yeah. A little wild.
But so what will happen sometimes is, I find this more with like established offensive coaches. Sometimes they will skew with way more tier ones because they feel like if I got this guy, that's what he would be.
Mm.
That's my perception.
Gotcha.
You occasionally get a one-off like that. It doesn't mean the guy's votes are terrible throughout the whole thing, or it doesn't mean that he doesn't have sometimes they're very successful coaches who feel that way. So, yeah, I'm with you. You sort of live with that. You talk to 50 people, you're going to get someone with a – on any subject, right?
If we, mm-hmm.
You're going to get some people with some wacky opinions.
Absolutely, including mine. Everybody gives wacky opinions about the NFL.
Were you surprised that Patrick Mahomes came in at number one coming off the torn ACL and kind of – you know, it's not like the Chiefs' offense was terrible the last couple of years, but it's been a little down the last few years. They feel like they had won a lot more with their defense. Were you still surprised that Mahomes is still at number one going into this year?
I was more curious to see how if people would come off of him a little bit, you know, and I guess I wouldn't be surprised. Actually, the tier two vote I got was one of the two or three final guys, you know, final voters.
Mm.
So, you know, when you're that established and you have the playoff credentials on top of it, I think people aren't just going to come off of you like that. So we'll see you this year if he has a tough year or isn't quite the same. Does Josh Allen pass him? There's just a lot of respect for Mahomes.
Who is the quarterback Mike Sando most disagrees with where they landed?
That's a great question. Let me just kind of go through these here, just looking Man, am I agreeing with these guys?
My only one, I think, Mike, for me, there's debatable one. Like, I had Lamar Jackson, and I totally get a little banged up, but, he won two MVPs. I don't know what we're doing here between, he's not a tier one guy. Like, I don't know, man. They're pretty good every year most of the time. That was probably mine, and yours would be?
Yeah. Well, I think he's okay where he's at, but Kyler Murray fell in this thing, okay?
Hmm.
He's down this year over last, but I felt like the tenor of the comments was optimistic being in Minnesota. Good defense, good weapons.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't that many people. I mean, let me look. He only got four votes in tier two, and I get it. But you'd think there might have been some people kind of like, hey, I think he's going to really have a revival. This guy has some talent, and I just didn't feel that.
Yeah. Yeah, Sam Darnold-esque, maybe. Maybe that's his turnaround spot. You know, you go to Minnesota, work with O'Connell, get a big contract somewhere else, win a Super Bowl. Final one for you, Mike, because we appreciate the time this morning, the extended conversation. We have to get Mike Sando, who's been covering the NFL for how long now?
This is my 29th season. Someone said, entering his third decade, I'm like, shoot, I'm actually going to be entering my fourth decade covering this because I'm almost got 30 years done. Crazy.
Oh, my God, dude. You've been doing it a long time, and we've really enjoyed. You've been really a friend of the program throughout the years. You're not old. You're young at heart, all right? You're still writing about the NFL.
When I was 8 years old on the beat, you know.
Absolutely. Who are Mike Sando's tier one championship contenders in the National Football League going into the preseason and week one?
Okay, everyone's going to say the Rams, and I'm there, but I don't necessarily think they're the top. I think Seattle is still right there. Mm-hmm. I think Seattle's got a real complete team and maybe my top choice in this thing. I'm just kind of going through the rest of these teams.
Yeah.
So I'd probably do Seattle 1, Rams 2. You know, AFC side, I'm just going through this. I feel like New England's going to regress. I think it's going to be a free-for-all again in the AFC. I think whoever gets to the AFC is losing to the NFC.
Mm.
And I don't know who it is in the AFC. I just feel like, you know, each one of these teams is flawed enough that maybe it's the year for a Buffalo to sneak through.
Yeah, I felt that way last year, and then the Brandon Cooks catch just didn't happen. So two teams in the NFC, and he's not really sure about the AFC, and I don't blame you for that one. It's a tough conference to figure out. Mike Sando's great list every year. He does great work for The Athletic year-round on the NFL, but his NFL quarterback tiers ranking from 50 execs, coaches, assistants, etc. You can find it on The Athletic as he ranks, the league ranks all the quarterbacks, and Mike just puts it to paper, puts it online. Don't yell at him. He's just doing a great job and giving us content that we love to consume. Mike, thanks for hopping on, man, making the rounds. We appreciate it. Great article, great work. And we'll talk to you soon during the NFL season.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, there we go. Mike Sando, at Sando NFL, the quarterback tier rankings.
Great stuff.
Is there more teams that should be in tier one championship windows for you guys? He only came up with two. He couldn't even come up with the AFC. Like, who would your AFC tier one team be? Has to be Buffalo.
Buffalo.
It should be Buffalo.
Should Baltimore be in there? Vegas is saying they should. Do you guys agree?
Should we put the Chiefs back in there? Mahomes is going to be healthy. He's going to play week one.
As Swag and I have mentioned, we're not as scared about those Chiefs anymore.
They're
kind of, you know.
Old?
They're a little old, and like, who's their lead receiver? Is it Rashee Rice? Is he in jail?
If he's out there.
Is it Xavier Worthy? I mean, Kelsey?
Can they have a consistent rushing attack?
Yeah.
Is the AFC kind of
dog-ass?
Low-key bad?
You're relying on a couple of,
I don't know if dog-ass is how I was going to go, but yeah.
I mean.
Bad.
What's the difference between not good and dog-ass? Isn't that kind of the same thing?
I guess, yeah. It just caught me by off guard.
I don't know who I'd... I think I'd take...
Like,
if you made a
Denver?
AFC, maybe.
New England? Nobody's buying New England. Everyone's like, I'm falling back.
What about Houston?
That's the squad.
They have maybe the best defense in the league.
Can the offensive line let C.J. Stroud have more than 1.5 seconds?
Will Nico Collins play a full season? I know. The tier ranking of championship contenders is interesting. I don't know how deep that list is, but he thinks it's only two, and it's in the NFC with Seahawks and the Rams. Good stuff from Mike Sando on the NFL. A lot more to get into. We're back with more on 105.1 The Fan.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mysteries Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. It is 9:29 on the dot. Well, now it's 9:30, but you know, we were back at 9:29. Would have been 28, but Swag couldn't stop talking. That should be on the clock, Swaggard. Oh, not gonna respond, huh? You just do it to me. I can't do it to you, huh? Very quickly, we have a local story I wanted to share.
Oh.
I think it's impacted all three. I don't know about you, Pinkies out. I don't know if it impacts your life. Maybe Stevie Fire over here. I know it impacted mine.
What's that?
Lloyd Center officially going away tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
66 years. It's gone. Like, I know you haven't been. I haven't been. We Jesus. Don't go. Kind of odd, isn't it, to lose like a staple like that has been around that long?
Is there a plan for that parcel of land yet?
I've always heard.
I thought it was like some housing thing or something.
Is that what they're doing it for?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I've heard 8 billion thoughts and ideas thrown out for it, but I didn't know if there was an actual.
Well, it opened when you were 8, so like that's a long time to be. You know, successfully running a mall of that
I'm
size.
There now.
What?
You're just taking shots.
What
on
are you
a
talking about? I'm not tight.
Catching strays.
I'm sorry.
I did skate at the ice rink when it was outdoors.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing the skating rink outdoors as a really young kid, but like most of my life, it was indoors.
According to internet, it says it'll be redeveloped by the Urban Renaissance Group and the KKR real estate into a new neighborhood featuring thousands of housing units, retail office space, and 6 acres of public open space.
So just like a delightful little park with apartments?
I guess, yeah.
I guess.
I like that area, and obviously it's not perfect, but it's very odd to think about that mall not existing anymore.
True.
And it hasn't been in my life for largely...
It's been there my entire life.
Well, I mean, like, it hasn't... It's such a huge part of my... Growing up.
Yeah. Is that where you would go and hang there? That
was the place to go. Yeah. Like, we had Mall 205.
See, I grew up on the west side, and it was Washington Square.
See, and I was out by Milwaukee, which is the town center.
Which I think will always be there. I'll be shocked if Washington Square is gone.
Well, Clackamas and Washington Square malls are seemingly
I remember when Clackamas Town Center was built and opened.
Yeah, I don't.
I will say, I remember the first time I went to the Lloyd Center, I thought, this place is amazing.
Well, how did you not?
Right, because it's so big, it just had everything.
Yep.
Like, as a kid, I was like, wow, like, this is what a real mall is.
Yeah, I had the same feeling, because we had Mall 205.
Like, larger than life, almost.
Mall 205 is, I don't even know if by definition exists anymore. I've been over there, but, like, it never hit.
No.
But when we got on that Max at Gateway and we got off at the Lloyd Center exit and walked through the park, yeah, you felt like you were going to the coolest place on earth.
It was a whole new world.
You had the cinema, you had the movie theater, you had everything.
You had two movie theaters. You had one in the mall and you had one outside of the mall. And when that place shut down, I was like, I went to so many movies at that movie theater. So many movies. Me and Jarrett Jack watched Get Rich or Die Trying at Lloyd Center Cinemas. Yeah. That Jarrett Jack.
Hot date.
Summer League MVP?
Georgia Tech legend.
Yeah.
Why don't you get it right?
Got him to the title game. Ishmael Muhammad.
Did they lose to Indiana?
They lost to UConn. Emeka Okafor.
That's right. Emeka Okafor.
Will Bynum.
Yeah, Will Bynum.
Jarrett Jack, Ishmael Muhammad, Luke Shenscher.
I loved that team. I saw that yesterday because I had forgot what the date was, and then I think Holdall put it out, and I was like, damn.
Yeah, tomorrow.
That's on Saturday. It's gone. It's been out of my life, but I have a lot of memories.
It's such a big deal. Primetime took phone calls yesterday.
They took phone calls on it?
We took two calls and put them on the air.
Did you really?
Talk about Lloyd Center, yeah.
We went Canyon and Manfield?
They did.
Were they like, I'm going to miss it? Or?
Yeah, they wanted Lloyd Center stories. First guy called in. I'm like, so I'm screening the calls. I'm like, hey, what's your Lloyd Center? You got Lloyd Center stories? He's like, yeah. We get them on the air. He's like, I've actually never been. I'm like, yeah. It's like doing bits.
Great.
And then we had a guy named T-Bone call in. Save the day.
T-Bone. I love when we callers won't even give real names.
Yeah, T-Bone.
They got to have nicknames for it. My favorite, I don't think I have a collection of favorite stories. Like, we used to go Christmas shopping a lot there. Being arrested in that mall and having worked in that mall, man, I got a whole like journey of what that mall provided me in my life.
Cajun Grill upstairs.
The Cajun Grill, yeah, the malt shop with the milkshakes.
Yeah.
The Orange Julius. Oh, God. The day I got arrested, I'll never forget being banned from the mall, being in handcuffs. That was crazy. You know?
You got banned from the mall?
I did.
Yeah.
Did you go back, though?
After I literally
worked at the mall five or six years later.
Yeah. Okay.
When people tell you they ban you from something, especially something of that size, don't ever believe it. Give it a cushion of not going immediately back.
Right.
But probably after 6 months to a year, nobody's going to remember you.
Nobody cares.
Because you know who arrested me? I don't.
Jared Jack?
I don't think they worked there anymore when I worked there.
It's probably just some random citizen.
It was a mall cop.
So it wasn't real?
No, it wasn't. But it was the first time I'd had a handcuff actually put on me.
That's wild stuff.
I had to take a photo. They put my photo on the wall because when you get arrested or you get taken away by the security at Lloyd Center back in the day, they take you to the third floor. And the third floor, away from the food court, remember where the food court was by the escalator?
Yeah, that was the offices and stuff.
Yeah, that's where we went. I had never been in those rooms before. And I'm like, oh, no. And he's like, sit here. And he handcuffed me to a bench. And then we all had to, like, take a photo. And then we had to call, you know, a parent.
Dude, we need to go back, try to get that photo. I probably got it in a record book somewhere.
I'd love to find it if I could.
That's what I'm saying. Like, go through all the files, cabinets.
It was probably like a really sad.
Or did you give a fake name?
No, I did.
T-Bone Sprague.
Unfortunately, was so nervous that I gave my real name in that instance. I gave fake names on the Max when I got caught without tickets,
right?
Because I didn't want that ticket. But the mall situation was like, it was pretty. It was a pretty weird day.
Frightening, probably.
A little bit, yeah, absolutely.
The handcuffs would have to be, like, really shock you.
When you're sitting handcuffed to a bench, right. it's an odd feeling. You're like, how in trouble am I really here?
Yeah, so you're like, if I give a fake name, I actually might be in trouble. So you gotta give the real name.
That's what I worried about.
If anyone's at Lloyd Center, go find the filing cabinet. Brandon Sprague,
go
the
find
picture.
That photo for me and bring it here. You'll be a hero.
I would love that.
How
old were you?
Good question. 13 or 14?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
That's I want to guess.
That's like peak. I'd be peeing my pants.
I think we were like freshmen in high school when we got in trouble. And look, we deserved it. We, you know, being kind of stupid. And don't throw pennies off the decks of the Lloyd Center or off the parking garage and hit cars because you'll end up causing some sort of disruption. But they're pennies.
Yeah. Be tougher, people.
I mean, of all the things, I could at least lie about the crime I committed, but unfortunately, that's what it was.
That's just kids being kids.
That's kind of how I view it, you know. Yeah. Stupid, but yeah, I ended up working at Just Sports like 5 years later. They even did a background check. No record.
That would have been crazy. like, hey, we're going to offer you the job, but we went through the records. You're actually banned from the mall.
I was nervous about it in the process. They were like, have you been here before? And I'm like, oh, I used to, yeah, grew up here. They're like, have you ever been in any trouble? And I was like, nope, never been arrested.
I'm telling you, that would have been
It's a mall cop.
Right,
that
would have been crazy
that?
If they're like, no, we're legit, can't hire you because you threw pennies one time.
If they went through the Lloyd Center, right. Like, oh, he's on the ban list.
We like, can't hire this bro.
They're not doing that. But I was a little sad by it, man. Like, I didn't go there. I think the last time I went to Lloyd's Center because they had a secondhand pet store that we needed something for, and price-wise, it was really cheap.
Yeah.
That was my first back, and I was like, whoa, this is bad.
It's spooky. I've been there.
It's depressing.
I've been there within the last couple months because they do have card shows there.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I'll take my sons to the card show, yep. And it is literally just like that, and that's it.
Where did you park? Because we parked near where Macy's was.
Yeah,
that parking garage is kind of terrifying when it's completely empty.
It's where you can just turn. It's where
the main entrance by the light. Yeah. That parking garage. When you're an employee, you usually park in the back. When you park in those garages now, and they're so empty, it's kind of terrifying.
Yeah, at least like during the car show, there's a lot of people, so most people park there, so it's not as spooky. But I'm like, hey guys, we got to have our heads on a swivel when we're walking.
I knew they were in trouble when I ran in there one day. I needed a shirt. I knew Old Navy or Marshalls was there, so I ran in. And Marshall's was gone, locked up, and I went, well, this mall's dying. If Marshall's can't stay open, how's the whole mall?
You're screwed. You're screwed.
Exactly. Marshall's should be your standard bear. If Marshall's is staying open, your building and your company's in good shape. When Marshall's is closing, well, it's over, man.
That you're not wrong on that.
That's all she wrote, man. Marshall's is your line. That's your threshold. Marshall's
that's
is
the Mendoza
open.
Line.
That's a yes. It's your Mendoza line. You are good there, man. You're right there.
If you got the Marshall's, you're good. If you don't, kind of in trouble.
Which one would shock you guys more? Washington Square, or Clackamas going away.
Washington Square.
Yeah.
Although Clackamas, they're just putting the B-dubs in. I'm excited.
They are. Yeah. I go to Clackamas. I just saw a movie at
There's
Clackamas.
There's a Tesla dealership inside of Washington Square.
Yeah, Washington Square ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, but maybe it just becomes like a dealership hub. Like Ooh. Five dealerships take it over and it, Cheesecake Factory goes away. Would you be sad about that, Swigard?
I'm not a big Cheesecake Factory person.
Oh, yeah. Menus are too much, huh?
Yeah.
19 pages of menus?
Pick a specialty. Pick something.
The Chicken Bellagio is pretty bomb, though.
Is it?
Yeah.
They do have a specialty. It's cheesecake. It's
cheesecake.
Called the Cheesecake Factory. Yeah. That's their specialty.
It's a great place to take kids, though, because they just have anything you want.
Their palates are so bad that it's like, oh, there's a mac and cheese. You're good.
Yeah, and so it's like, that's why we go there, because it's like, oh, the kids will find something they can eat.
Right.
Because I have to pay for money. Because there's nothing worse than paying for something than having the kids don't not eat it.
Unless it's something you like, and you're like, yeah, I'll have leftovers at least.
I do always play that.
How as a dad do we not?
Yeah.
RIP the Lloyd Center. So is it being bulldozed down, or officially the doors are like
That's
locked?
What I don't. I'm going to guess they're just, it's not open
it's
for
gonna
business.
It's going to be a slow
Eventually
down, right?
They'll get to it.
I know this says, just slated for demolition.
Okay. Well, RIP the Lloyd Center. Many memories, many friends, many gals, many moments. We knew you. Good luck in your future endeavors. All right, we wrap it up. Coming up next on 105.1 The Fan.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Stephen Vaughn hanging out Thursday and Friday of the week since Dirt is, I think he's in Sun River. I don't know. I don't like to
I haven't heard.
Text
I haven't
him.
Checked to see if there was, I hope they made it.
I don't reach out to him during vacation.
No.
At all, like I don't like to bother people on their vacations. Mm-hmm. Once they're gone, you're gone. He'll be back next Wednesday, so he'll be back the day of the city vote.
Yes,
on the funding, we'll have Wright Gazaway in studio.
Fantastic.
That day, him and Dirt need to work out timing and all that stuff. So he'll let you know, as he's been very plugged in.
Yeah.
Of whether he thinks the city's going to pass the funding, I think most people would vote that they do. I saw this about 20 minutes ago. Wanted to pass it along. Wright tweeted about the construction plans from the Blazers to the city, which everybody viewed as a great sign, right? Like, if you're trying to move the team, why are you offering construction workers and renovations? So this is already in itself a positive story. Jason Quick added to it. Would you like the follow-up from Jason Quick,
Please.
Who's also very plugged in? Mm-hmm. He said, was told earlier this week the news here is not Blazers bringing Populous, the name of the firm, to meeting. They've retained their services for months. It's the Blazers are finally communicating and engaging with city Teams still want City to pay for Populous to draw up arena plans, baby steps. So we're working our way there. We're inching closer and closer and closer. I don't know what you pay a construction team for an arena renovation. I can't pretend to know what that price tag is. But remember, the county gave $13 million more than we thought, the $88 million. The city will vote on it next week. So,
well, I'm wondering if this is for, because the city has, that's one of the things they've said in all these public hearings is, well, what are the renovations going, what's the scope of the work that are going to be doing? And the city's like, well, until we know what our budget is, there's no point in, because you have to, no construction or design firm is going to do all of the work on something of this scope, designs and plans. There's a cost to that. Some of those memos in the, in Wright's story where he got public access to the back and forth was about that. The team was looking for the city to advance them some of the money that supposedly was going to go to Rip City Management anyway, if I read it correctly, to get the plans going so they would have something to work off of. And the city said, no, we're not going to give in any advance money.
Mm-hmm.
So the back and forth and go around about the chicken or the egg with these two entities has been going on for months.
Yeah, and we kind of had a feeling it would. I think it just, to Steven's point earlier, I think it's been louder and more annoying than even we anticipated.
Well, that's when all the media cameras started putting microphones in
everybody's face. I think it started the minute Dundon bought the team.
Yeah.
It started the conversation and narrative, which then led into the negotiation, which has not been fun.
Yeah, the Dundon stories that came out right when he bought the team with all the cheap stuff did not help the situation at all. And so there was already kind of a mindset that people had going into the whole, all the negotiations of what Tom Dundon was going to do, fair or not fair. But that's kind of what it was. And so now, yeah, it's been more covered than I think that people realized and more in your face than we all thought going into it.
Did Clay Bennett and his ownership group provide the city of Seattle with renovation construction companies? Do you remember that?
I don't think it ever got that far.
Oh, okay. But I was told he's Clay Bennett. I think one thing I'm taking away from this is if the city votes Wednesday and they vote yes, so you have the county, state, city money, there's still a lot they need to negotiate, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the noise is at least trending in there is nowhere to go. The league doesn't want you to go, and the monies are there. If they get this done and they all sign and it's a 20 or 25 or whatever your lease, and we don't have to talk about this largely the rest of our lives on air, whenever they do a press conference, I'm assuming they will to kind of celebrate some of this or whatever.
I would imagine.
We need to be honest about this. I'm okay with calling balls and strikes. You want to call Dundon out on stuff, let's do it. If we want to call City out, let's do it. If he does a press conference and he's like, everybody's saying I'm going to move the team, I never had the intention, like maybe we need to cool it a little bit locally of assuming we have any idea what that cat's thinking, because nobody here, and I don't mean that as a shot, nobody here knows him.
No.
You may have talked to people in his orbit or his circle or whatever.
There's media people that have interviewed him a few times.
But
and
he
I
ultimately,
think
nobody has a relationship with that cat. And I just think, and this isn't even about people covering it. This is about all of the media. There's been so many statements made as if anybody knows him. And the truth is you don't. And I think that's going to be a nice slight refresher, reset of like,
I think
let's stop now and let's see how he operates.
Some of that is, my sense is Dundon's not interested in delving into that.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
That's fine. That's how we operate.
And that was my whole thing the whole time. I was like, let's just give this a little thing some time.
Yeah.
Like,
let breathe.
It was
the problem is not wanting to have or that not being a priority for him to have relationships. That rubs so many Portland people the wrong way off the top. And clouds or shapes it's how they view the whole thing.
We never heard from Jody Allen, so no one had relationships with her. So we were all hoping that, like, hey, new owner comes in, this is going to be 180 difference, 180 degree difference. And it just wasn't that. Like, Tom Dundon didn't want to get the relationship, but we all had hopes going into it, like, man, new owner is going to completely change everything. And didn't,
it changed in ways we thought.
But it didn't change in that way. Like, we were excited to hear the owner talk. Like, when Dundon talked, it's like, wow, we actually heard our owner speak.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't hear that with Jody Allen. She never spoke.
Well, I go back to that too. Like, I've always found that odd. I think you've highlighted before of like, how quick we never heard anything great about Jody, and then suddenly it came to the end, and Jody was the most amazing
person.
Once
Paul Allen passed away, I had not heard one radio segment. I never saw one tweet. I never saw one thing ever about how well run the Blazers were. Not one. It was always Blazers are a terribly run organization. So then Tom Dunn comes in. He does things completely different than what was happening, and it's still This is the worst run organization. Well, you can't have it both ways. So it was terrible one way. He's changing everything.
He's changing,
but
because
it's terrible still.
Appeared, you know, when he started looking at the books, this is massively inefficient from an operational business operational standpoint.
So it's poorly run, and now it's more poorly run. I just didn't get. I wanted to let it breathe.
As long as I've been alive, and as long as I've been of voting age and paid attention, for some reason, when they go to the ballot box, they need to feel like their elected officials can come over and have a cup of coffee or a beer in their backyard with them, rather than being pragmatic, efficient operators of commerce and business. And that's a lot of the reasons why we get stuck in these situations.
And I may look back in 5 years and say, hey, Tom Dunnan was the worst.
You could absolutely say that.
But you know what?
Have a 5-year sample size before you give the take.
I want a sample size. I want to see what happens before I'm going to instantly judge the guy on just a couple decisions because he didn't want to have t-shirts at a playoff game.
I mean, you know, also to his point, nobody touched those towels were not being waved.
Me and my son were the only ones that I think waving them. I don't think anyone else.
And also to his point, I remember watching that game, the amount of people wearing their own jerseys and like the merch they like, he's not wrong in doing that. We had to find something to latch onto. I think also to your point, I would add, it is very bizarre to think back that, like you say, in 5 years from now, we can judge Dundon as an owner and is it good or is it bad or are we better or whatever. How odd was it to think back to Paul died and we literally never heard anything from anybody
ever
at organization?
Ever.
Like it, and not, I'm not talking about Dwayne Hankins. I'm not talking about Joe Cronin.
You're talking about the Vulcans.
She didn't do anything of like,
never.
We're
won.
Running this. Bert we're a collective. No, they did nothing. He died, and then it was just like
that was the thing because it was
crazy to think about that actually happened.
There was so much hope that once the new owner came in, it's like, man, they're gonna care about the fans. They're gonna talk.
Yeah,
and then it just didn't happen.
It never happened.
So we turned so quickly.
And I know it's different, but like Jim Irsay died. His daughter's out there all the time.
They are awesome.
They are awesome. And it's a family entity more so than a corporation. I get that difference. It's just funny to think like the owner of our team died and we never had anybody publicly address the fan base of like, we're running this now. We're doing it in Seattle. Trust us. It was just dead radio silence. We're just going to run it and never talk to you. That's crazy to me.
That goes to my point of no one ever said it was a well-run organization when Jody Allen was
top flight. Top flight of the world, Craig. Don't you know?
How dare we do something different?
What are you looking forward to this weekend? I know you got prime time today. What are you looking forward to this weekend? Any plans?
Son's got a basketball tournament, so that's going to be fun.
Oh, you're doing basketball in the summer?
Yeah.
He's
actually pretty decent.
Is he?
Yeah. He's tall. He's big.
He's got the genetics.
He's starting to get it.
Yeah.
I tell you what. I don't love being a parent, but I do love watching my kids play sports.
You don't love being a parent?
No, I don't feel like I was put on this earth to be a dad, but I love my kids so much. I love watching them play sports.
Why'd you have kids if you don't?
Why not? See what happens. I didn't feel that way until I had them.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm a great dad, though. I am a great dad.
I believe it.
Yeah.
It sounds like you are. And I also appreciate honesty.
I'm just honest about it. A lot of people are honest. A lot of people lie. But
hey,
like, dude,
I've always said I hate babies.
They stink.
They're terrible. All they do is sleep and crap their pants, and they only want their mom. Get me to like two, one and a half, two. They start running around, start
have their own little thoughts.
Dude, when they're little aliens.
Yeah.
Lockstep there. Hey, thanks for hanging out with us this
week. Thank you.
Man.
You're the man. You're the man.
It's been great. Stephen Vaughn, everybody, catch him on primetime. He's going to double dip chip today. That's going to do it for us this week. I'll be back Monday, and we'll have a loaded show. Enjoy the weekend. Hopefully the smoke goes all the way away. Thanks for hanging with us all week long. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 The Fan.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.